The last time that I was, had a sermon out, I was talking about some of the astounding things that's happened since the creation of this earth. Since God and Jesus Christ brought it into being. And a more astounding event since the creation of time then was the fact that Jesus, the Word, became flesh by giving up his spiritual existence and becoming a pinpoint of life, conjoining with the egg in Virgin Mary's womb, and to be born an actual Son of Man. Then with his ministry, the astounding fact that he ministered for 3.5 years, called out the apostles and other disciples, and then his arrest and his trial, the awful beatings that he went through, the scourging that he suffered, and then his crucifixion of being hung on the cross. The Creator actually dying for the created. But the most astounding thing that's ever happened in the history of mankind took place 3 days after Jesus Christ was entombed in the ground. He was wrapped in strips of linen and put in the ground and laid there for 3.5 days. He was killed, he was taken from the cross, he was wrapped in fine linen and laid in a tomb. He was not a spirit at that time, but he was flesh and bone with blood that had been drained from his body. He had shed his blood for the sin of the world, and Jesus was begotten by the Holy Spirit at his baptism, just like we are when John the Baptist baptized him. I mean, when he came to earth the first time in the Virgin Mary, he was begotten by the power of the Holy Spirit, not begotten by the Holy Spirit. He didn't come from the loins of God, and he didn't come from the loins of the Holy Spirit, because we know the Holy Spirit is the power. And he came to shed his blood for the remission of sins, because our physical life is in the blood, and it's not in our flesh and bones. But 3 days and three nights, he laid in that tomb and did not see corruption. He didn't rot. And then after his resurrection from the dead, being born again of the Spirit, as he told Nicodemus we have to do, he was seen 40 days and 40 nights by his apostles and by other disciples. And we have a written record to his resurrection from the dead, that the Son of Jesus that was buried is actually the same Jesus that rose 3 days and three nights later. Now, I'm quoting from some material that I had written down, so you know where it's coming from. It said, man was created to have eternal life, but because of the choice of Adam and Eve made, eternal death became the final fate of man. And that is until Jesus. He is the Word that became flesh. He was killed and he shed his blood for the remission of sin. He was buried and then resurrected, born again of the Spirit, becoming the firstborn of many brethren. Jesus was already born again when he showed himself to his disciples, and he had them fill of him, he ate with them, showing that he is flesh and bone, not a spirit. That's what he told them when he appeared with them in the room there. He was not filled with blood at that time, because blood is corruptible. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit, incorruptible and immortal. So this has been an astounding thing that has happened in the history of mankind, the most astounding thing that's ever happened. Because without that, we all have no hope. What happened after Jesus' resurrection was the most profound events in the history of man. And that's recorded in Luke 24, 36 through 53. And that scripture says, now as they said these things, they were talking, Jesus stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. Now, he just appeared there. The Bible doesn't say he walked through a wall or he came through a door. He just appeared. And they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. When he had said this, he showed him his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, Have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets concerning me. And then he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, This it is written, and this it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continuing in the temple praising and blessing God. Now during this period of time, never once did Jesus present himself to them as a spirit, but he actually told them that he wasn't a spirit, so they need to be witnesses to the fact that he had risen from the dead. But showed them that it was he himself, alive again as flesh and bone, that stood with them, talked with them, walked with them, and sat with them, and ate with them. He did many signs showing he is the Son of God, who was in the flesh, crucified, and raised back to life. Still flesh and bone, but changed. He was born again of the Spirit. Not of water and blood as he was at his first birth. He once again had eternal life and never again to suffer death, but it was necessary for the first time to die for the sins of the world, once for all. John 20, 30 through 31. And Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing you may have life in his name. And believing in what? Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was begotten, born of woman, was crucified and was buried and was raised back to life on the third day. Was seen by many witnesses, alive in the flesh for 40 days, ascended into heaven to the right hand of the Father, and in will like manner return again. See, all of his disciples have witnessed the life of Jesus, also his death and his resurrection back to life. And it was confirmed to them by many signs that he truly had been raised from the dead. Alive once again in the flesh, they had seen him as flesh and bone during the 40 days he was with them after his resurrection, after which they also witnessed his ascension into heaven. Jesus is the Son of God. He has come in the flesh. And he is the firstborn of many brethren by resurrection from the dead. We don't know exactly what he will be like, but we know that when he returns, we will be like him and like the Father. Now, Jesus was born as a flesh, blood, and bone human being. He was subject to the same lust of the flesh as Adam, and as we are. Except Jesus never gave into those lusts or temptations and was without sin. He overcame Satan by living by every word of God, by all the commandments, by all the statutes and the judgments given by his Father, the eternal God, the Most High, the creator of heaven and earth. But now he is the glorified Son of God. He's been resurrected from the dead, and not only resurrected, but was born again of the Spirit of God. He is a new creation of God, becoming the firstborn of many brethren, and we are the brethren that will share all eternity with him and God the Father. All of humanity that is born again of the Spirit, at whatever time God determines, will be a new creation of God. The Spirit of God will be poured out on all humanity, and the tree of life will once again be available to all that will choose to take of it. When Jesus presented himself alive after his resurrection, and he opened the minds of the apostles to understand that he was supposed to die and on the third day to rise again, then they believed. And the disciples with him also believed. They then realized that the same Jesus that had spent so much time with them over 3.5 years, that they had seen put to death by crucifixion, that they had seen buried in a tomb, and the tomb sealed, this same Jesus was alive again in the flesh. Jesus himself telling them that he was not a spirit, that he was in flesh and bone. Jesus was not resurrected with blood flowing through his veins, or he would else once again be subject to a physical death. He had already had his blood drained. Jesus was resurrected flesh and bone with the eternal Spirit of God giving him life. And that Spirit was flowing through him, and it still is today. The eternal Spirit that was from the beginning, before the Word of God became flesh, the Spirit that he had before he gave up that position, and actually his self became a pinpoint of life and conjoined with the egg and Mary. That's the same eternal Spirit that flows him now, and he's at the right hand of the Father, and his God the Eternal. The same eternal Spirit that will still be flowing through him when he returns in the clouds to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The same eternal Spirit, the resurrected saints and those that are alive and changed from mortal to immortal at the return of Christ will have flowing through our bodies. Putting off the earthly bodies and taking on the heavenly bodies to live forever with Jesus Christ and God the Father. The same eternal Spirit that will dwell in every born child of God in the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus came the first time as flesh and blood to a physical temple, Herod's temple, made by hands and which was destroyed by the Romans some years after Jesus ascended into heaven. Jesus coming the second time to a spiritual temple, of which we are. All of us, everyone around the world that has God's Holy Spirit is part of that temple. Not made by hands, to individuals chosen by God the Father, to living stones in the temple, as it says in 1 Peter 2:4-5. Coming to him as living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, speaking to all of us, as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. See, God is not pleased at all with physical sacrifices. Acceptable to God. I mean, we lay aside every weight and every sin through Jesus Christ. You see, there is only one Messiah. There's only one Savior, and his name is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's only one Emmanuel, and only one King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that one is the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Everyone that worships God in spirit and in truth will be striving to live a life obeying all of God's commandments, including the Sabbath, all of his statutes, all of his judgments, observing his holy days and having the testimony of Jesus Christ and the living faith and the living hope that's in the resurrection of Jesus Christ.